Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a perfect 10, don't know the meaning of sexy. Well, baby, I admit, when I walk in the room, all the heads are turning. I got that thing to make it go crazy, enough to go around all different places. My sense alone, I have you intoxicated. What a problem I'm making, my heels high, so excited, cheating, perfect body, like being the center of attention, no.
No fire, no flashing.
Lights, camera, action.
You know what I can't give for. Won't you give
it
for me?
Tonight,
you'll be acting.
Lights, camera, action.
Camera, attraction. Baby, I'm a superstar.
So much attention when I walk by. I keep them up on their feet. I'm so clean, it's a damn shame. Don't need no runway. Show stopping, nothing you can do. More than fly, slick as you do. So careful, I'm just too brand new. Can I take a picture? I got my
heels high,
so excited. Keep my shape on,
but I take
out.
Riding slow
as I'm passing by.
Street Queens the Movement, and we're live on Street Queens the Movement, and we're talking about commitment. What are we so afraid of? Why are we scared of commitment? And why do we start things and we never finish it? That's the question. Do we have a complex? What's really going on? Are we scared of perfection? Are we scared of success? Are we just lazy? What is the situation? Why are we scared of commitment? And I want you guys to call in at 347-826-7722. You're live on Street Queens, the Movement, a female empowerment group supporting females in the industry and supporting our community. Positive people doing positive things. Log on to www.streetqueensthemovement.ning.com. Also, today is Lissette's event, Calling All Poets, in the Bronx, New York. Win $100, sponsored by Street Queens, the Movement, tonight in the Bronx, Calling All Poets. Also, shout out to Street Queens, Lissette, CG, Emma, E2K, and Felicia Sabray. And we're talking about commitment tonight. We're going to go to a quick commercial, and we'll be back, and we're talking about commitment. Call in at 347-826-7722.
Having a party? Meet a DJ?
Meet a DJ?
How about the best damn DJ in the business? DJ Hunt. Visit DJ Hustle at hustleevents.com to book your next surprise birthday party, corporate event, or bachelor party. With over 40,000 songs, DJ Hustle is ready to play any request. Check out DJ Hustle at hustleevents.com. That's hustleevents.com. You can never hustle hard enough.
Attention, music connoisseur. Are you frustrated and aggravated from listening to conventional radio? Sick and tired hearing the same lame 20 songs over and over again? You need to be listening to blogtalkradio.com/lushradioonline. Lush Radio Online. Hosted by Lushy Lush. Lushy Lush has her ear to the street and plays all the new and independent artists out there. To listen to Lushy Lush, log on to blogtalkradio.com/lushradioonline. And don't forget to call into the station 347-826-7722. Independent artists and record labels can submit music to Lush Radio Online MP3s at gmail.com. Lush Radio Online, you just officially got stamped.
It's your girl, Lushy Lush. Did you ever think about picking up a magazine to see nothing but the hottest ladies that's doing hot things in the industry, from models to business owners? We trying to find out the beauty outside and the beauty within. So if you thought about that, pick up E2K Magazine at www.myspace.com/E2K Magazine or www.everything2.com. Or email them at E2KMagazine@gmail.com. Holla at your girl, man. Pick up E2K Magazine and support them in their movement, man. Like Nike say, just do it, do it, do it.
Yeah, yeah, what's happening? This Big Wishbone, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah, this your boy Kool Rock from the Fat Boys. And when I'm in the DMV, I'm always rocking with my girl Lush on Lush Radio Online.
Street Queens, the movement, and we're back. And you know what? It's always having these lovely ladies on the line, wonderful women, bosses, bosses, live in the building. And we're always talking about, you know, more empowerment things and different things that we can do to support one another and definitely supporting the ladies, you know, in the industry. And we're talking about commitment. Why are we scared of it? Why are we scared of commitment? And why do we start things when we never finish it? You know what I'm saying? That's the biggest question. Why do we start things and we don't finish it? We're going to go to the phone line real quick. Peace, Queen. How you doing? Hello? Peace, Queen. How you doing?
Peace, Queen. How are you?
Doing great, man. It sounds like you had a rough day, boo.
Oh, my God. Just putting the youngest to sleep, so.
I understand. That's a task, man. What we women have to do, man, what we women have to do, you know, not a game. Yeah, so, you know, this is our wonderful, beautiful queen,
sexy.
You know, sexy Emma E2K Magazine, yep. Live in the building. And, you know, y'all need to check her out on Facebook, man. She got the hot pictures on Facebook, for real. Ain't no game over here, man.
Yeah, but they got to know me on Facebook. They could just holler at me on the MySpace, on the Twitter. Follow me on the Twitter. Come on. If y'all show me love on the Twitter, I may let you rock on the Facebook.
Yeah, follow on the Twitter. If you don't follow on Twitter, I don't think you can rock with her on Facebook.
Yeah. What up, babe?
You don't get to see the exclusive pictures of Emma. For real. What's up? So we're talking about this commitment thing, Emma. You know, a lot of us, you know, go through life, and some of us are honestly procrastinators. Why don't we scared of commitment? Men, women, you know, why are we scared of commitment? Not even just in general of relationships, but just committing to do something and finishing it. Like, why do we start things and we never finish it? Why?
Fear. Fear plays a large role. Fear of being disappointed. Being hurt, being fear. Fear is number one. Fear definitely is number one. As I speak to a lot of my friends and stuff like that, usually that's what it is. Fear to fail. You know, fear can really disable us in doing and stopping us from doing numerous of things. You know, fear is crazy. It goes along with distress. You know, they say stress enables us, but fear is like number one. Because when you're fearless, when you have no fear to do anything, there's nobody that can stop you, you know. But once you let that fear crawl in your mind, in your goals, it just stops you from doing things. I know so many people that are like that. And I always ask them, like, well, why? Why you start something, you say, okay, I'm going to do this, and you get amped up, and then mid through it or a third through it, it's like, you know, oh, you're onto something else. Like, how do you do that? I mean, I don't know. I don't do that. I start something, and I ride it through. Is it easy? Hell no. Hell no. But that's where I think that you start really showing your character and who you are, and that definitely separates leaders from followers.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely some real stuff right there. I mean, it's not a game. It's kind of hard, like, you know when it comes to us, because a lot of people, you know, make excuses for things. Well, you know what? I can't get this job because I don't got a whip right now. Or I can't get this job because, you know what I'm saying, or I can't commit to go doing this because, you know, the man did this or the man. We make excuses
mm-hmm.
for why we won't do things.
Mm-hmm.
Is that basically like a scapegoat to, like, blame it on something else so you really don't have to face your fear?
Yes. It's like the alcoholic that says, no, I only drink in the weekends. You know, I only get drunk in the weekends. Yeah, but you drink during the whole week. So that makes you an alcoholic.
I mean, we got commitments, like, you know, commitments. People have commitments like, you know, staying on one's diet, you know, which is hard for a lot of us. I ain't gonna lie, it's hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, staying on one's diet or committing to, you know, and you know, shout out to Hair Razor, you know, talking about the true story about fear, and you know, the crazy thing about it is that, you know, sometimes, I mean, we can let our fear get the best of us, and some people just won't do anything. They won't commit to anything. You got people going through their whole entire life never committing to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Never, you know, committing to finish it, you know. A whole course of going to school. A lot of people that can't commit to, you know, picking up their kids or doing what they got to do for their children, because they never have finished anything in their lives. When does this cycle stop, you know?
I don't know when it stops, but, you know, hopefully in their lifetime they get to realize what they're doing and want to do something about it. Usually, unfortunately, it's usually something traumatizing, you know, like losing maybe a loved one or maybe actually being homeless in the street. Like, sometimes it takes like a shook like that, kind of like a tragic, like, yo, wake up, you know.
Mm.
Losing someone either in death or just separating from someone that, you know, you didn't want to be separated from or anything. Breaking a hand. When now that, you know, when you had two, you didn't want to do nothing. Now you have one, and now you want to accomplish all this stuff. You know, it's like all the stories we hear, all these people in special marathons, when they were healthy and physically able to do things, they never did it. But now they don't have 2 feet. You know, they're missing 2 legs, and now they're running, you know, like 10,000 miles because now they need to, you know, feel that they want to accomplish something. So sometimes it does take a tragedy. You know, they say with each tragedy, there's a blessing, you know?
Yeah,
so.
that's true. Like they said, with changing, it's either by force or either by, you know, by the willing. So, you know, this commitment thing, you know, even with relationships, like commitment in a relationship, sometimes it's hard if you've never been in a stable relationship or you've been hurt so many times in your life. You're like, I really don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with the ins and outs. Let me hurry up and get out of here before it gets too serious for me. You know?
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And sometimes we just basically sabotage, you know, our own success because of this fear.
Yeah, you know? It definitely happens a lot. It definitely happens a lot. Both men and women, this is not even just a woman thing or a man thing. It's, you know, it just happens a lot. And then if we don't have no one strong by us, you know, or anything, it's like, you know, or if our parents, you know, some kids learn that from their parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they see their mother do that. Okay, I'm going to start this and, okay, no, I'm going to do that. Okay, I started this. No, I'll do that. Okay, I'm going to do this, but I didn't do that. So it's like, okay, you're teaching your kids that that's okay to be that way. And guess what? When they grow up and they start doing the same thing, it's like, can you blame them?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really mad at them?
That's real cool. I mean, it's a pattern. I mean, it's learned from somewhere. It's learned from somewhere. If your parents are inconsistent about things, that trait is going to carry on to the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being inconsistent about stuff, or basically seeing your mother not really having, you know, someone steady in their life. You see them in and out with so many different people, or you see your father with so many different people. It's like, well, I don't really need a stable relationship. I can, you know, deal with whoever I want to because I've never really seen a stable environment.
Right.
So, you know, that's the situation, you know, that we deal with when it comes to, you know, just commitment in general. Like, even with jobs, right? You know, so many people beg for jobs and everything in this time and age that we're going through. And people beg for jobs, and they beg that they really, really want to get these jobs and situations. They're offered to opportunity, but they don't want to stay consistent with it. They go in halfway, and then they jump in there, and they must fear there or think that this not really, they're really not going to give me a job. You know, forget it. Or they offer the opportunity, and they won't even call the people up to set up an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I mean, if you go through your life, you know, being inconsistent and not completing a task and being so scared of commitment, you're not going to be able to be successful in life. You're honestly not going to be successful in life at all. Just like, you know, when I take on a client, even with Emma, when you take on a client or you have a dream that you want to do, you want to stay committed to that dream and you want to keep on, you know, pushing with that dream. I know we all go through obstacles, but you still stay consistent with what you're doing.
Absolutely, absolutely. You need to, because that's, you know, that's what you show in business especially. I mean, you do that in business and you don't stay committed. People see that. People see when you're not consistent. And when you're going to really, you know, when you're out there promoting yourself or your business or whatever, that's what people are going to say about you. You know, they're going to be like, oh, don't even deal with that person. That person is not consistent. You know, why would you want to invest your money in that person that today you're okay with them and tomorrow they, you know, they're looking at you like, oh, what? Oh, forgot it, right, you're my client. Sorry.
You know.
I mean, you remember to change that check, but you don't remember to do the work.
You know what I'm saying? And even like, I mean, you know, like, I got people that are foster parents dealing with children. And, you know, just like we're talking about checks, you got people that, you know, cash a check, but they don't want to stay consistent in doing the proper things that they need to do as a parent, you know, being committed to the test. The commitment is, you have the child. You want to raise this child in a better environment, taking them away from the negative environment they were, and you want to stay committed to this child. But mm-hmm. It's basically no commitment to the child. It's commitment to getting that money. You
right.
know. You know, it's a lot of nonsense. You can apply the commitment situation to anything that goes on in every life. You know. Committing to say that we're not going to do something, like, you know, being an addiction to a drug or an addiction to a certain thing, you know, staying committed to say that I'm not going to do this, you know, is sometimes the hardest thing to do in life, is this commitment itself.
Yeah, when you get married, when you take the vows for marriage,
mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, so death do us part. You know, not all the time people are dying, okay? They just go straight to the lawyer.
That's real talk. And you know what? Somebody told me before I got on this. They said, personally, they said, they said that basically the reason why people aren't staying committed in regards to relationships, they're saying basically because of the fact that everybody's cheating point blank. They said everybody's cheating. People are basically nowadays, it's like before it was taboo a little bit, but nowadays it's like a casual thing, like, you know, having casual outside sex, you know, intercourse with somebody on your job or casually seeing somebody on the side, you know, or even the husband having a girlfriend that he's taking care of on the side with an apartment and all that, where he has his wife at home. So you ask yourself, where's the commitment? Was the commitment because basically, you know, it's the commitment by paper, but not a commitment physically?
Oh, from the heart, because, I mean, that's a part of when you say I do, because you love this person, you supposedly, you know, have this person as a partner in life. So it's like you're committed to, you know, make sure that they're happy. I don't see where the happiness is if you have somebody else and you grow a totally different relationship, sometimes even a whole family, you know, somewhere else. But yeah, you look at this person in the face and say that, I love you. You're the person for me. You're the person for me in this state, and in the other state is somebody else. Like,
you know what?
Can we be a little more specific with the vows? You know, death to us. Okay, you know, death means you will die if I find out you're with someone else. How about that? Let's rewrite that. You know, and I'm gonna play insanity. How about that? Because you're driving me crazy if I got to kill you. All right, sorry, I forgot it's a family show. My bad, killing is bad.
Killing is a bad thing.
Yes.
But, you know, for real, you guys know better. You guys have, you know, these outside, you know, like families on the side. And, I mean, you got grown kids that people don't even know about. I mean, come on now.
Meeting each other, like, you're my brother?
Yeah.
You're about the same age as me.
You know,
what was my daddy doing?
You know, for real, you know, you got all these side children and everything, like, where is the commitment? Does commitment even exist anymore? Like, you know.
There's some, very few though, horribly very few. But I mean, there is some, you know, committed people. I've seen, you know, lately I've got to see and know and experience and meet a lot of committed fathers. You know, I'm always, of course, I go for the woman movement and I rep the women's all day, but you know, we have to give those men, those committed fathers that are out there really standing by their children, you know, because nobody really remembers them. It's so few, you know. It's really few, and that's sad because I wish there were a lot more. I wish that we can really, when Father's Day come around, there is as joyous as Mother's Day. You know, Mother's Day is, you know, a lot of men be like, but why Mother's Day make it so, and Father's Day is like, oh, Father's Day. Yeah, you know, because it's like, you know, it's messed up. It is. I agree. But, you know, it's just not, there's not that many good fathers. Let's face it, you know, for whatever reason. And again, it goes back to the excuse. Oh, I didn't have no money. I couldn't see him. You know, he don't live in the same state as I do. I'm not sure if that's my kid. I can't stand the mother.
You know what?
That's still all excuses.
Making all these excuses for commitment, man. We got a caller from the 917. New York is in the building. You know, 917, you're live in the building. You know what I'm saying? With Street Queens, the movie. We're talking about commitment, man. Like, you know, why are people scared of commitment? And why do we start things and never finish it? You know, committing, whether it's relationship, you know what I'm saying? I guess they just wanted to listen, so I guess they got scared and bumped off.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. They can listen.
Nothing wrong with that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Whether
they listen.
You know, but it's great if you listen or whatever. Don't be scared now. You know what I'm saying?
Don't bite over the phone.
You know, if you don't want to speak.
You can always use an anonymous name, like,
yeah,
you know, Harry or Jimmy.
Yeah, you can always
Kathy
look at
or Betty.
This is John Doe, whatever you want to say your name is, you know. Don't be scared. You know, but commitment, you know, we always make excuses for why we don't commit to things. You know, like, you know, just like one of my clients said, basically, you know, regardless of you know, your personal feelings or regardless of what's going on with you in general, that doesn't matter when it comes to business.
Mm.
Yeah, it don't matter when it comes to business, because when it comes to business, at the end of the day, you made a commitment to do what you said you was going to do for your client. You made a commitment to say that you were going to do this and do that. So if you don't follow through with the commitment, then you're not consistent. And you're not fulfilling your role as what you said you were supposed to do.
Right. And that becomes the AKA BS. You become a BSer.
BS, and you are known as a BSer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a good name to have hanging over to you. So, you know, the commitment is, if you make a commitment with a client, you make a commitment with any situation, whether it's to go and check on your health. You know, some of us, you know, are not committed to check on our health. Some of us right now can be going and dealing with diabetes, God forbid, cancer, any situation. And you said you were going to make a commitment to go to the doctor and do what you were supposed to do, and you didn't do it because, oh, well, I was tired today. Oh, well, I didn't feel like doing this. Or, oh, well, I didn't feel like doing that.
My hair didn't come out right. I didn't have the proper gel.
And we don't want to stay committed with checking up on our health, and we have a problem with doing that. We need to go and hey, it might not even be it might be your child's health. Your child might need to go to the dentist. Your child might need to do a physical. You got some parents that ain't done a physical for their child in, like, how many years? Because they don't want to be committed to do it. You know? They need the physicals to go to school. You know? Mm-hmm. You know, the commitment is there. You know, these children don't ask to be here in this world. That's a lifelong commitment that you can't get rid of, you know? That's a lifelong commitment, you know, and then you have commitments to yourself on being honest and true to yourself and living your life in a righteous path in order for you to be successful and complete in what you started. Just like a project. We start a project where you know what, this is shout out to all my people that like to put all their eggs in different baskets. Shout out to all my people that like to be over multitaskers, and you know, yeah. How do they call them? Not even just a workaholic. They got this thing, this terminology that they call. I forgot. It was this phrase. They say they want to be a master of everything, but really a master
jack of
nothing.
Jack of all trades, but master of nothing.
Yeah, you know
what
I'm saying?
That don't apply to me. Oh, okay, no. I'm a master of a lot of things, Jack.
But this don't go out to the people that's mastered everything. But you got the ones that are saying, "Yo, I wanna start this. This year they wanna start, you know, a catering company. Next year they didn't finish that, but then next year I wanna start writing books and then next year I wanna start a limo agency.
And
then
5 years
year,
down the line, it's like, whatever happened to, did you ever learn how to make cake? Do you ever have a license for a limo? No, okay.
like what happened to all the things you said you were gonna do? Like, you don't even got nothing to show for it, like
nothing, yeah, that's know? Like the saddest thing.
And I'm not going to lie, as us as Pisces, sometimes we're undecisive about stuff, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, in my younger days, like, you know, even though I'm still kind of young, but, you know.
Exactly, we're very young. Cut it
you
out because we're very young, all right?
Because
I'm a baby. All right, if you look at me, you'd be like, oh, my gosh, he's like a baby, okay? I'm like a baby. Baby raising a baby.
You are sweet as I don't know what, man. But like, you know, when I was younger back in the day, basically, when it came to things that, you know, I wanted to do this, I wanted to be a rapper, I wanted to be a model, I want to do this. And we get so scared with all the things that we want to do, we never met one thing. And the only way to be successful is find and channel into that one thing that we're really good at and stay focused and stay consistent in it constantly until you complete that task. And therefore, when you've mastered that and you know the ins and out of that, therefore you can move on to the next thing. But if you haven't completed that one task and you haven't mastered it, then it's not time for you to jump into the one or two or three tasks. That's when you become bombarded and overwhelmed, and you become stressed out. And that applies to anything in your daily life, you know, and make sure you keep your game face on at all times, you know what I'm saying, and be prepared for any situation that happens in life. You know, we want to do everything. Everybody wants to do everything in the world. I want to be a football player. I want to do this. I want to do that. Everybody wants to. Yeah, we want to do all of that, but we gotta master one thing first before we can move.
I didn't keep on in school, so I don't think that's in my plan. So, see, when you want to do something, when you want to do something, it's like, okay, I want to be a football player. So you have to see what it is that it takes to become a football player or a doctor. You know, it's all these years of school of really. Going and, you know, going to your classes, you know, really hitting those books, really understanding, you know, why the arm does this and blood or whatever. First of all, you can't even look at blood. You might as well be in a doctor's out of the game. Like, you know, if you get queasy or you see blood and oh my God, that person vomited, you cannot be a doctor. Like that right there, I'll just tell you right now. X on the doctor essays. Out. But finally.
And, you know, another thing, Emma, I think sometimes we lie to ourselves. I think we lie to ourselves and think we're doing something committed, but we're just, like, freestyling through it. I think sometimes we lie to ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. We lie to ourselves more than people lie to us. Like, girl, you know you look good in that dress. Cut it out. Look at you. So why them chichos is beautiful. It's just skin for people to hold.
Like commitment and being consistent. Like, okay, like even with men, when you said you want to open the door for the lady and you said you're a gentleman, stay committed to that. Stay consistent with that.
Yeah. Even if one girl doesn't say thank you, don't slam the door on all the other girls' faces. I mean,
you know, stay committed. If that's what you are, stay committed. Stay, you know, consistent with that. Now all of a sudden. I'm not a gentleman with this other chick because, you know, this, that, and the third. Stay committed. Stay consistent. If you're not going to stay committed or stay consistent in being a gentleman through the whole relationship, then don't do it in the beginning. Don't start something that you cannot finish. Also, let's get into the sexual preference. In the sexual, don't get somebody all hot and bothered when you ain't going to pass the test.
Girl, this is a family show. Let's keep the hit the other topic because I do not want to open my mouth.
Don't start nothing. That
won't be
can't.
None. You know what I mean? Like the song said, "Won't start no, won't be none static." Right.
You know, and shout out to all my. College graduates and shout out to all my people, you know, that didn't graduate from college but stayed consistent in their career and what they wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, college is hard. It's not a game. You know, it's hard and it takes a lot of focus. But if you stay committed and stay consistent, you know, at the end of the day, you get that paper, you get that reward. It's all about what you choose to do with it once you receive that paper. But that's a commitment because you got people that are moonlighter college goers. You got people that go 1 year, then they'll stop. Then maybe 5 years later they'll go back. Then they'll stop.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be like, wow, you've been like in college for a long time. You must have like your master's.
Like, how long you been in college, son?
She's like, wait, let me count how many years I've been. Wow, because you got to be like going for your doctors right now, right? Like, no, I'm just getting my associates actually this year. What?
What? Like, for real, huh? So you don't got your, you ain't a doctor something yet?
Associate? It's been like 6 years. Associate is only two. I mean, I don't mean to burst your bubble, and I'm happy in college, but, like, what are you, trying to be maintenance there? Like
is this, that's crazy. Like, you know, for real, we have to start staying committed to what we do. I mean, this is 2009 going into 2010.
2010, wow.
So, God, like, wow, who knows that, who knew that we would even live to see this point in our day and age, from us coming up in our time period? Who would know? We got to thank God for this time, but we have to stay consistent in our lives in order
to
stay.
Imagine if God wouldn't be consistent in his stuff. We wouldn't even be here.
That's for real. If he was not, if God wasn't consistent, we wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have me, you wouldn't have Emma, you wouldn't have me. You wouldn't have the street queen. You wouldn't have nothing.
Nope.
If we didn't stay consistent, we wouldn't have science. We wouldn't have education.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have, you know, young men and women, you know, graduating and foundations, people and families staying and applying their family values, staying consistent on their children so they can be great.
We would be reading through by moonlight. Or with the candle?
Yeah. And if you didn't stay consistent, you wouldn't have people that would be able to read. If you're not committed to teaching yourself or committed to learning how to read, you won't be able to read.
If we weren't consistent, if our ancestors weren't consistent, we all still be picking cotton and getting whipped and all that. So
that's real talk. And they had to stay. And
so
they
the
made,
white man didn't keep you down then. Don't say the white man keep you down now. So we could whip some butt right back. So sorry, I just thought
that out. But it's silly. Commitment is a serious thing. Like, we have to try to stay committed in our lives. Like, take for example, Emma. If Emma is right now raising children that are not biologically hers, but yet and still she loves those children and stays committed to them because she committed herself to take these children in and love them as her own, and they are considered basically her children. Mm-hmm. And if she didn't stay consistent in commitment, she wouldn't have beautiful young kids going to school, being outstanding in their school and doing what that's all from the love and the commitment she had for these kids.
And the consistency goes back to that, teaching them, you know, me doing them, so watching me do things like I still got to clean this and that. I still have to, you know, get up, work and do things. And they see that. My son sees that. He's 17. So he knows he has to do this and that. And still, you know, like, there's no excuses. You're tired? Okay, well, you still have to do your chores. Your things still have to get done, you know? And I'm hoping to instill that as he gets older and he remembers that, you know, because, you know, these teenagers now kind of oof. But, you know, if you instill that, my mother instilled that in me. You know, before you go outside, well, back then it was a lot worse because now it's like I tell them, don't right, throw out the garbage, maybe clean the bathroom, and then, you know, whatever you do, you know, you do you, your Xbox or whatever. Back then when I was growing up, I had to do the dishes, I had to mop, I had to wash the clothes, iron them, do all type of stuff, you know, and then maybe if my mother felt like it at that point, after 3 or 4 hours of me scrubbing the wall and everything else she asked me to do, if she let me go in front of the building half an hour, that was like a major treat. Major. Or if I didn't do something right or I didn't clean the wall, there was still a streak she passed by and said, oh, never mind. You know what, lady? You cannot give me those 4 hours back. I just bear cleaning, okay? You are so lucky. So lucky there's no child abuse hotline. I could die right now.
There was no.
So you be gone.
There was no such thing as child abuse when we was coming up on 911.
Child abuse? Man, listen, you lucky if the neighbors didn't come in too and start participating in the.
And that's real talk right there.
Whopping.
We're talking about consistency, and we're talking about commitment. Why are we afraid of it? Why are we scared of commitment? You know, whether it be relationship, whether it just be a task, why are we scared of it? Is it fear? Is it plain laziness? Is it fear of rejection? What is it? And why do we start things and never finish it? We got a caller from the 347. What's up? Is this my dude Delaney?
Yes, it is, babe. What's bobbing?
What's up with you, boo?
Chilling. I'm over here working, as usual.
I know, man.
Welcome into the Queen's Lair.
Oh, what's good? What's popping? How you doing over there?
Oh, here, maintaining, staying consistent with the show.
That's what's good.
That's what's up, man. And that's what it's up. Delaney, how you feel about that? And if y'all know, this is the wonderful manager of Archie Eversold, and your man has a wonderful marketing company, and he does crazy stuff with the industry, man, and it's the man to know, you know what I'm saying, for real. But, Delaney, how do you feel about this commitment, you know, just dealing in the music industry and dealing in everyday life? How do you feel about that? Why are we scared of that?
I think people are scared of commitment because, one, it commits you. You basically, end of the day, you end up being locked into one thing for how long that lasts for. So let's just say you're in a relationship and you're committed to this relationship. Well, that relationship could be a lifetime of commitment, meaning that, you know, one woman, one family, one existence. Whereas people kind of see themselves as travelers and wanderers and want to have opportunity outside of just one locked-in thing, so they want to try different things. Like, who wants to eat the same vanilla ice cream for the rest of your life? Is very few people that want to do that in today's, like, you know, today's world, because we're not built on family anymore. I think it's more about self. So on the selfishness.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I was really thinking about that vanilla ice cream.
Oh, see. Yeah. Well, real talk, though. Like, do you want to eat the same shit every day?
No, could I just switch up strawberry? Cookies and cream. No, you're right about that.
Exactly. Some Neapolitan in there, some cream, some peach ice cream. You want a little something every day. So imagine having to be committed to eating the same ice cream every day.
Well, I never saw it that way. That's it. No more commitments for me.
Yeah, exactly. But that's just, you know, that's just my thought on it. Like, at the end of the day, like, I'm in a committed relationship, but I'm also in an open relationship.
Explain that.
You have people that have open relationships. They're not married. They might have a girlfriend, and that might be that main thing. But just in case you want to go out and do something or want to have another person that you date at some time, then you're able to have that because, you know, you're not married, and you're free to do what the hell you want to do. I'm a grown-ass man.
Hold on, Delaney. Is the other person aware of that, though, Delaney?
Oh, yeah, they're definitely aware of it. I wouldn't, you know, I don't do nothing. Everything is full disclosure with me. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Everybody know what's popping. Like, ain't no secrets, ain't no hiding. I'd rather tell you the truth and lie to you. I'd rather not be that dude, you know, playing I'm married with kids. You know, as we see these governors and presidents and, you know, high executives and all these people get to crumbling down because they lead the American public on to believe that they lead a life of just, you know, pure family, Christianity or whatever it might be. When in reality, they going out and they want to, you know, attend peep shows and, you know what I'm saying, and buy a dirty movie and kind of be swingers and all this other shit. Like, dog, you can't lie to people. It's not 1980. It's not 1960 where technology won't catch you. Nowadays, technology catch your ass so quick. Whether you be on camera on somebody's camera phone or somebody have your BlackBerry pages that you've been going back and forth with your little mistress on, you better off telling the person straight up what it is and seeing if you get a person to agree with that and won't catch you, rather than being a constant liar and selling the dream of your family that, yo, it's only y'all, it's only them, and then being the type of dude that's a constant liar with another family on the other side of town. Papa was a Rolling Stone type shit. You know what I'm saying? So I live in a world of somewhat honesty where I try to keep it complete open as possible. You know what I'm saying? So on the back end, ain't no problem. Everybody know where they stand. You know what I'm saying? So you got to realize, you know, black men, African men, and people, men, have been doing this for a lifetime anyway, and they're not going to stop just because you said, I just stood up here and signed a piece of paper and put a ring on your finger. Now, I'm not going to ever want no other, you know, ice cream in my life.
I'm the lady. I know.
You feel me, though? Right? That's what you called me for? That's what you want to hear?
You knew what he was going to say, Lush?
No, I said we was talking about commitment, but no, the lady go hard. He go hard. I'm scared of him.
No, I mean, you know what, but, it, you know, at least he's being honest, and there's a lot of people that think just like him. He's not the only one, so he's just speaking for a certain number of people that think the same way, and that's what it is.
Oh, it's a whole lot of people that think the same way I do. Same way the girl, the same way the girls look or feel when she go out and, you know, with a girl's not intending to do nothing dirty, but meet that young dude that she, Arby boy, that she meet, that she want to get with, and she has to pretty much fight it, but she necessarily doesn't. She just sits there and flirts with the dude until, you know, the very end and says, you know, I have a boyfriend, but you can give me your number anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Or
the same dude that know he got a wife and kids at home. That's out on the road. That's like, well, the wife and kids ain't here right now, and I'm in the middle of Tempe, Arizona, and I need something to touch right quick. Let me go and make a call.
That's so true.
You know what I'm saying? So ain't no different than any man, any woman. Nobody wants to do the same thing. Like, I can understand wanting to be in a committed relationship. I can understand. Now, you understand the reason why I do this is because I'm not a liar. I'm not going to stand there in front of all my family, friends, and honor God and say that I'm going to love this person for the rest of my life no matter what.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to get that lie out of me. If I say that, always there, show the truth. You know what I'm saying? And under the laws of United States government, I can't have my wife and have other women. I can't. So guess what? I won't be getting married.
Wow. Well, that's
and not to say I'm going to run around and be chasing women. I don't mean that. I've been on a many road trip, many places, and not been the type to try to, you know, run after women. But just in case the opportunity does come, you might want to taste that. So you might want to go ahead put yourself in a position where you ain't locked into nothing. And that's where commitment comes to. Because if you got a job and a new job comes the next week, you can't necessarily just quit the job and put in your 2 weeks' notice. If you got a child and, you know, everything is going good with the child and they get in a severe accident, you can't disown your child. That's a full life commitment. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of people ain't willing to make that same commitment for another person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my spiel on it.
That you told some real stuff, though. But, I mean, in regards to you with doing what you do in the industry and everything, how much is commitment? Is commitment, how much does commitment mean to you personally?
I mean, it means a lot if it's about, you know, what I'm committed to. If you talk about relationships and man and woman, that comes secondary to music. Music is my woman. So she comes first. Then comes my mother. Then comes my girl. You know what I'm saying? And kind of I sit up ahead of all that shit. Like, before you get to music, you come on me. Self-preservation. You know what I'm saying? I got to make sure me is right. You know what I'm saying? So it comes down the line. But in reality, everywhere, and I kind of see a little bit of everything. That don't mean I'm always going to try it out. Everything ain't for me. I'm a little bit more mature with it. Most dudes want to run around just because they want to just be totally free. So you can't let a man, you can't cage a dude up and expect it to work. Like, you know what I'm saying? So if you want to commit a relationship, allow the man to commit himself. Like, you know what I'm saying? Then when
that's
he commits himself,
that's
this is a different story. But if you think of you, well, if I have sex with you, you're going to be my boyfriend, or I don't want to talk to you to somebody else, are you only mine? That doesn't work, dog. Same way I never have, like my man tell me, and I believe by the same creed, too. Like who, like you. If a girl like me, I like them too. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be out here trying to chase Melissa Ford because I know what comes with dating Melissa Ford. Her hair, her nails, the restaurants, everything got to be taken care of. Not because she's a gold digger. That had nothing to do with the woman. It has to do with the man. I'm not going to have no woman living below her standards to just fuck with me.
Mm.
If she used to eating like this and living like that, and if I'm used to eating like this, I'm not going to meet a hood rat, and just because I got a hood rat today, I'm going to go take her to the Waffle House. No, dog, I don't eat at the Waffle House like that. I'm going to take her to where I eat. You know what I'm saying? So everybody feels comfortable. Mm-hmm. But you know, a lot of young dudes just want to run around and have their free time. Let them have their free time, dog. Most niggas ain't ready to be committed until they older. And they realize, like, it ain't about beauty. It ain't about, you know what I'm saying, a lot of superficial stuff. It's really about setting a family. And who are you going to allow to carry your seed? Because, like, you know, if I'm right about mine, you right about yours, we most likely have a productive, you know, strong kid. But if you ain't right about yours and I ain't right about mine, what are we going to pretty much bring into this earth? More problems. So that's how I think about it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And then no rapper nigga should be worried about being committed, dog. It's just too many women. It's too many fucking damn, you know what I'm saying? It's like walking in 31 flavors every time you walk out the door. Like, real talk, Jay-Z walks in 31 flavors every time you walk out the door. Same thing with anybody.
Diseases.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. That's a part of it. Like, I really think about, I'm not the most religious. I'm a spiritual person, not a religious person. So I believe a lot of times when you're saying, okay, God is pointing you to be with one woman, it's because in reality, you know, that's going to help you out a lot about stability of your life and your health. You putting yourself inside another person all the time. That ain't safe with people that you don't know where the hell they been.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things work out and function that people try to be religious things because you were talking, like, you know, even with the Bible, at times, it was meant in the Bible that's written about that had multiple wives. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
So that's not a Christianity thing. That's white Christianity being forced on African people and being forced across the world and then saying, yo, I want to control you this way. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, like under the law, once you marry, you are thereby a partner. You become one entity. Thereby tax, you know, your tax hold bracket changes, a whole lot of shit that, you know, religion, I think a lot of times about money. So that's when the money come into play. You got to do a lot of stuff that ain't, like, if I love you and we love each other, if we marry, we marry. That's how it was, dog. But now you got to go get your state certificate, blood test. Now everything that you have is 50% mine, 50% yours. And it's all a money thing to me. It's not about a family, about the people thing. Because if people really love each other, you really love somebody, and you really sat there and you said, you know, to death do us part, then, you know, you should honor that. But most people ain't going to honor, you know.
It should be honored by you saying you're going to give up your life.
Yeah. I mean, and that's really what it is. So, and most you got to think, we're selfish. So we're not trying to give up our lives. We're trying to keep our lives for ourselves. Like, you know what I'm saying? In reality, I really just want somebody to be there when I grow old.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if on paper that you're my wife or not. You know what I'm saying? If I love you, you're going to get what you deserve when I pass on. Everybody that's attached to our situation is going to get what they deserve and what they need to have. It's not about that paper holding me to it, but I hate to have that sign of paper and then realize something about you I didn't know beforehand and really want to move on from you. But I'm not going to sit there in front of my mom and be like, yo, mom, I'm going to love her for the rest of my life. Because before I say that shit, I'm going to know it for a fact.
But you know what, though? You bring us to think about doing another show next week about what does the marriage license really mean? What does marriage really mean? Like, why does society place so much of an emphasis on being married? Because of what
have to know everything.
This is simple ways, you know, it creates an ideal of stability. Think about it. You never saw a person run for major office and be a single male or a single female.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of stuff that, you know, a lot of way they play marriage off of, you know, like, come on, like, realistically, dog, if I am any of these dudes, like, let's say Paul McCartney, when he got, you know, divorced, he's worth $1.5 billion. Do you really think his wife is worth $150 million that she got paid in divorce? What the fuck could you do in the last 2 years to be worth $150 million?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Right. I'm in the first place,
So that's my thing. It's like I can't see myself giving up half of my life dream, or half of my life work, you know, to a possible another person. It would never happen to me, one, because I would have a prenup. You know what I'm saying? That kind of cut me back. But the whole reality of it, like, okay, so what happens with Kay said and Brittany? Does she need to be taking care of this grown-ass man? No, not in reality. 50-50, nigga, you came on the team, you brought this. When you leave the team, you need to take that with you. Not come and get half of what we didn't damn, like, no, you ain't make this. Like, you know what I'm saying? So that'd be my only thing about marriage, like how it works in today's society. And then we'll talk, if it worked, people wouldn't be getting divorced at the rate that they get divorced. Like, do you really think Khloe Kardashian and Lamar Odom go work? Like, come on, dog. They knew each other for a few weeks. Let's be serious. Are you willing to share your whole life with a person you met for a few weeks? That's like me saying, Lush, let's get married. Lush, this will be locked up for each other, like, forever. You'd be like, hold up, nigga, I just met you. I don't know what your family like. I don't know what you got that I don't know about. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know your habits.
A lot of things come into play. You got two black people that got the sickle cell syndrome. They have a full-blown kid that's sickle cell anemia. People don't think about stuff like that. I be thinking about that when I'm mating with giving another woman. Like, okay, how are your genes? Like, nigga, I don't get sick. You know what I'm saying? I'm damn near 30 years old. I can count on my hand two times in my life that I've ever been somewhat sick. You know what I'm saying? Outside of the normal cold. So I'm like, okay, if I have a child with a girl, and my biggest thing is if I have a child, all I want is a healthy child. I prefer to have a boy. Just please let it be healthy. But if I get with this girl over here, that's random girl, hey, I don't really know nothing about her, her health and the whole nine. So people just need to think about that type of stuff before they, you know, run around and sleep with everybody they can and get an opportunity to.
That's true. People don't think about that. They don't even discuss that. They don't talk about that. It's not part of the conversation.
That's some serious stuff when we're talking about commitment. We're going to come back in a quick second. We're going to give you a quick commercial. This is about the performance tour, 21-city tour, sponsored by Strictly Bought One, the hottest fashion clothing line in the industry. And they're doing a 21-city tour. And we're calling out all independent artists, and we're calling out all models. It's going down. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to play this real quick. We're going to go to this commercial, and we'll be back, and we're talking about commitment, man. This is real talk, baby.
www.myperformancetour.com. Artists, DJs, producers, and models, are you tired of searching for the spotlight? Well, if so, beginning December 11th, 12th, and 13th at the Hilton Daytona Beach Oceanfront Resort in Daytona Beach, Florida, the Performance Tour is exactly what you've been waiting for. Register today at myperformancetour.com. Artists, come and finally get a chance to be heard by the industry's majors. DJs, come and show your skills in a DJ battle. Producers, come and network with over 1,000 artists. Sell your beats and get recognized by the industry's majors and models. Come walk the runway showing out the hottest new designs of the hottest clothing line. Strictly Bump One. That's right, Strictly Bump One. This event will also be filmed by G-Unit's ThisIs50.com. Confirmed for the panels thus far are representatives from Atlantic Records, Def Jam Records, G-Unit, Interscope Records, Swisher House Records, writers from BET and VH1, and many more. So register right now at www.myperformancetour.com.
Yo, that was the performance tour, man. Real quick in this segment about commitment. my daughter just came and she, you know, we're talking about commitment. Her staying in commitment into, you know, being a good student in school because, you know, her mother expects nothing but the best from her. And, you know, also, you know, with her, you know, learning how to read and doing all that stuff. You know, my daughter has them. She's only 6 years old, so she got her little diary, and she wanted to read her diary and stuff. So I'm gonna let her read her diary to y'all real quick, man. She wrote some little stuff and everything. You know, this is a quick kid segment. Emma, you want to hear this? Emma, you there? Emma, you still there? Emma. Well, real quick, I'm gonna let my daughter go ahead and read y'all this real quick. This is something she wrote. She's only 6 years old, and she's talking about this is about commitment. You gotta stay commitment to these kids, man, so they can be positive citizens out there. You wanna read what you wrote?
Yeah. I love my mom and dad because they are nice to me. My mom likes to stay up all night to work on her show. My dad likes to shop. I want to go to Disney World in Florida with my mom and dad. I want them to be my teachers because my mom is a teacher.
And tell me what your name is.
Natalia loves her mom. I cannot.
That was my daughter. That was our quick kid segment on Street Queens, the movement.
Fish. Why you cut her off?
Say thank you to everybody for listening.
Nobody's rushing her off. Go ahead, Mama. I want to hear what you got to say.
Say, shout out Street Queens, the movement.
Shout out Street Queens, the movement.
Yeah!
Oh man,
this is the reason why we do it, man.
That's the reason why we stay committed, man. For little things like that, that means the most, right there, man. You know. And you know what? And she sees the commitment, how I stay consistent with doing what I do and what I do with the show and staying commitment with, you know, just teaching the kids and stuff. So, you know, that's a reflection on them. You know, we you know, in charge of these children's souls and what they see in life. And, you know, we got to stay commitment because they need to see some type of direction, you know, because the world is crazy enough. So they need direction somewhere, you know. So,
and it starts in the home.
Yeah, it starts in the home. And Delaney really told some real statements in regards to the situation, like, I mean, even though we were laughing and everything, and you know, but at the same time, a lot of his points were true. A lot of us play this facade of commitment due to the fact we want to conform for society, because society plays a role in regards to this whole marriage situation, or we basically got this person pregnant and we want to do the right thing, but really we don't love that person and we really aren't fully committed to that person, yet that causes us to step outside the marriage. So, you know, we really need to really think about this commitment situation. And when it comes to doing jobs or dealing with a client or staying consistent on children, this is something that we choose to do. A commitment, when you say commitment, this is something that we verbalize. You know, when they say, if we say it, it shall come, you know what I'm saying? Like, if speak it, it shall happen. Like if we say that we're going to do something, it's not something that somebody said, oh, you need to make this commitment. This is something that we volunteered and said we were going to do. Like I said, I was going to help you move. I said I made that commitment.
Right.
Nobody else said that. Remember that we are the ones who state that we're going to make the commitment. So it's up for us to complete the commitment and finish what we start. Don't start something and don't finish it. You know? Don't start something and finish it. You understand? And that's real talk right there, you know. And, you know, that's real talk what we had to say in regards to commitment, because it's not a game out here, you know. And in regards to things that are happening around the world and things that are going on, you know, apparently Michael Vick got to deal with Nike, I guess, you know. So he got a deal with Nike. So, you know, I guess, you know what I'm saying, that's all good. A hood, you know, with Nike. And,
talk about second chances.
You know, he definitely, you know, is getting second chances. That whole situation with that dude and Tila Tequila, I don't know, the football player, I don't even know what that dude's name was. You know, I guess when he choked her out or something like that. What was his name?
I don't know his name, but.
What was he doing anyway? Tila Tequila is tiny as hell.
Listen,
you know, I mean,
he was into a lot of things. I mean, not to say that, you know, she deserves that, but
You know, I mean, like, if you like, touch Tina's tequila once, she might fall over, you know? You know, she's tiny, you know? But, you know, it is what it is.
The heat of the passion.
Heat of the passion. And our girl, Lucella, set today is her show today in the Bronx. Is going down tonight.
Oh, yeah, she repping.
Yeah, repping hard for the Street Queens of Movement and doing her thing with Streets on Mind. Coach, I need to go out there because there's a raffle. You win $100 sponsored by Street Queens of Movement. And two mad Latinas, man, you need to go check that out, man. It's really going down in the Bronx tonight. You can look at all the information on www.lustradioonline.com and go over there to the events and check that out at streetqueensofmovement.ning.com and check it out. It's on there. Check it out. And you know, it's a lot of things that are going on in the internet. I don't know what's up with this thing they call Google Wave. What is this thing they calling Google Wave? What is that about, Emma?
Wave?
Yeah, I've been seeing that lately. I don't know what it's about, but it's called Google Wave. I don't know what it is, and people are like twitting it like crazy.
Google is getting wavy now?
I don't know. Maybe it's so wavy. I don't know. Maybe it's getting wavy. And people are getting washed up out here.
Could be, because Google has been washed up with a lot of other companies.
Yeah, so this Google Wave thing, I guess the Google Wave is like, I guess the Google Wave is basically, you know, from what I'm looking at, it's almost like a Facebook.
It's like a social network?
Yeah, Google Wave, actually, you know, for all y'all cats that's listening, Google Wave is like a new social network from what I'm looking at because I just Googled it, you know. It's basically, it says it's a real-time communication and collaborator way that both conversations of documents where people can discuss work together using richly formatted text, photos, and video. So basically, it's like Google has created its own Facebook.
Its own Facebook.
Google
wow.
Wave.
Well, I'm signing up right now. So
the developers, you know, Google is always trying to step ahead of the game because, you know, they stepped out here with the Google, which was the number one search engine in the building, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, with Google Wave, which is a new thing. And then you got Bing, you know, Bing, like now, B-I-N-G, Bing.com is like the new search engine. Like, I mean, Bing, like, basically shows you all the graphics from the different sites and everything that you're in. I'm totally, like, number one on Bing also. Like, when you type in Lush Radio Online, it's not a game. And on Google, so, you know what I'm saying? Check out Bing.com, you know what I'm saying? They're not paying me to say this, but, yeah. But
it'll be nice if they cut a check.
Yeah, unless they cut the check now. Cut the check.
Yeah, I'm
right. So Google Wave, look out for that, man. Y'all can Google it. It's Google Wave. It's like a new social network. And it's basically sponsored by Google. And Google basically owns a lot of this stuff on the internet. Like, they own Blogspot. They own a lot of this stuff. And we got our beautiful queen on the line, CG. Is that CG Michelle right there?
Hi, everybody. Hey, y'all.
What's up with you?
What's up with y'all? I hear y'all talking about Google.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
we talking about Google. The topic today, we were talking about commitment and everything, and why we're so afraid and scared of you know, commitment, and why do we start things and we never finish it, and everything, you know. We was talking about that earlier, but I was giving them the spill on what's cracking out here in the new, like, you know what I'm saying, in regards to, like, online right now, the Google Wave. You know, Google just created the whole social network called Google Wave, which is now, you know what I'm saying, popping right now. And then you got Bing.com, which is like a new search engine out here that people, you know, can access through their cell phone. And and Google has applications for your cell phone. On your cell phone, I don't know with all the other places, but I know with Sprint, you can basically go straight to Google. They have a Google application on your phone now, and you know, you can go to Bing. And also,
I mean, I know CZ has the iPhone and everything, you know. We ain't going to hate on the iPhone, but shout out to all my Blackberries.
What up, Blackberry?
What up,
Blackberry?
Shout out to all my Blackberry holders. The thing about it is, the new thing on the scene for my Blackberry people is your girl Lushy Lush got the Blackberry tour. Okay, and I'm going to let y'all know that the Blackberry tour is vicious as hell. I'm telling you.
iPhone, we just got to do an update.
But
now
we got an iPhone on the line.
So now we can do picture messages.
About time. We only been doing that.
Okay.
Hey.
You see how people be coming in about them iPhones and stuff. The iPhone
is problems all day long.
You know what I'm saying?
They crashing all over the place.
Well, we love the iPhone users though, because my sister got an iPhone. The little, it got like a pink cover like on the background and all that on AT&T. So, you know, so we ain't gonna knock that though. But I'm gonna tell you about the tour, right? The tour has excellent features. Before, when you had the curve, you couldn't see the numbers and stuff. You would have to hit the click to see what the number was when you go and check. Call on, you can see all your numbers and everything, and then all the icons don't pop up in the front, they hide them, and you can go in there and click it, and it's not out into the screen. And
wonk,
then,
wonk, wonk, wonk. And here's why you burst off the Blackberry.
Y'all need to pick up. If y'all into iPhones, pick up the iPhone. It is nice, you know what I'm saying. But you know, make sure you step
it's
up.
It's nice looking.
Room.
It's nice looking, but it doesn't do the job.
Actually,
if you really want to get job done, get the BlackBerry.
I saw on the news the other day, iPhones and iPods have been blown up on people, and they've got like 15 reports of people getting burned by
their phone. Tell you,
yeah.
Jump to the BlackBerry, girl. Come home. I'm home.
Let me get burned by an iPhone. It's over.
it'll be ICG.
Yeah, I'm owning Apple if I get burned. I'm waiting to get burned by an iPhone. I'm waiting.
It'll be like ICG. I'll be like,
yeah, ICG.
Fucked up.
Yo, did you get the new ICG?
That's the new ICG, dog. Yo, that new ICG is so chocolatey right now.
I'm gonna name it the C-phone. The C-phone.
It's so wavy. The ICG is so wavy.
It's wavy. My phone gonna be wavy like Max T.
Crazy.
But I did want to say something. I don't know if you guys touched on it earlier. Did you ladies hear about the Darion Albert story?
The who?
Darion Albert, the 16-year-old boy in Chicago.
Yeah, about, and I know Nas did an open letter about that, I believe it was, right?
Yeah, talk about that.
Darion Albert was a 16-year-old boy, and he was walking home from school. This happened September 24th. He was walking home from school. He went to a Christian school. And in Chicago, there were two gangs that were fighting. And he had nothing to do with it. As he was walking home from school, I guess he was walking on the path where the fights were happening, and a young boy came up and hit him in the head with a wooden plank. And this was, you know, they pulled these wooden planks off of where the trains ride. Hit him in the head with a wooden plank, and he stumbled, and then someone else came up and hit him in the face. So he dropped, and at this moment, student from the school is videotaping the whole thing on their phone. And then he's laying there for a while. The fights continue in the street. As he tries to get back up, someone else hits him, and they stomp his head repeatedly. They beat him so bad, and they beat him to death. And it's on tape. And they have it on YouTube. And the thing about it is, I didn't know what I was watching before someone sent me the video. And I watched it, and it brought tears to my eyes because they actually have video footage of this boy getting killed, 16 years old. And you saw his grandfather on the news, you know, crying or tearing. It was just
so it was
such
just
a
different
sad story.
People, different people that were kept coming up to.
It was just different. There were different gangs. He was walking home from school and happened to walk through a gang fight. If he was an honor student, he was on his way home from school, and apparently maybe earlier, I don't know if it was the same day or, you know, just the same week or whatever, but someone tried to get him to join a gang and he didn't. So I guess, you know, and the students are coming out with this, but you see the kids at the end drag him into like a little safe haven, but he was, it was too much. And the fact that it's online on YouTube, I mean, anybody could Google it and look at it, but it's so sad. It's so sad. 16 years old.
Wow.
His
you know
what?
The
Albert,
faces of the people that did this, I mean.
They arrested four students, all between the ages of 16 and 18. And it's sad, but the way they beat him, it's like, I mean, you don't.
Unbelievable.
But they brutally beat him, so I definitely want to. I mean, at this moment, they rest in peace to Darren Albert, a young, nice-looking kid. I mean, it's a very sad story.
This is what I'm talking about. Like, you know, the violence and the stuff, and we killing each other, man. You know, and the crazy thing about it is. You don't see people coming into an uproar. They'll come up there and stand up for the president of the United States. Not the president of the United States of America. They'll come up when somebody makes a certain remark, but when our own people are killing each other.
And that's the thing.
Killing a young innocent child like this and nobody's standing up. There's nobody saying nothing. Nobody's really sitting here and addressing it like that. Like, I mean, if it was, God forbid, if it was a white kid, America would be crazy. How many times?
But the thing about it is, people sat there and watched it, and then as he dropped, when they first, you had the person taping it, like, he got knocked out. Like, you know.
No one called.
They watched it. They watched them. And I think the kids in their mind thought that, you know, someone just got knocked out, or he just, you know, but. He died from it. I mean, a brutal blow to the head like that.
What has got? You know, this brings me to for us to have a show about. You know, does America live off of violence? What have we become cannibals? Have we become savages? Have we thrived off of the fact of people dying? I'm gonna tell you something. You know, God, to go back from the situation that happened to me when I was, you know, when the place blown up and everything like that, and I put the pictures up. You know how many people logged on to look at that? Rather than if you put up something that's something about something happy or peaceful,
yeah.
People love.
They
want to
see them. And my thing is, people are sending the video around. You have to see how many views this video has of this little boy. I mean, and it's. I think people are going on because they're not expecting to actually see the whole, but you see it. I know YouTube put something where now they blur it out, but at the moment when I saw it, it wasn't blurred out, and it's horrible. I wouldn't advise anybody to go on and see that.
I don't advise nobody because what you're doing is you are committing to a violent act that was committed wrongly to a child, and you're basically condoning this nonsense. I don't care what you have with your curiosity or whatever. You don't need to be going and viewing that because you're catering to the situation. Like, look at the movie. That takes me to the reference of look at the movie Untraceable. If anybody has viewed that movie Untraceable, or any other movie where basically you know it's an online killing. You know, you got somebody that's basically kidnapping people and basically torturing them, and the way that they kill them is how many views and stuff. And these people are actually viewing and saying, kill this person, thinking it's a game. People like to see people in suffering positions or dying. How could you, what kind of heart or moral do you have in your life to watch a 16-year-old child get brutally killed? In front of you, and tape it, and then put it on.
And I wish someone would have warned me. I wish someone would have told me what it was before, you know, they sent that because it's hard to look at. You know?
The fact that people are sending this stuff and sending it around like it's like a music video.
And what happened?
Really,
was, It's sad. The guy taped it. There's a guy and a girl who are taping it, and they gave it to a local news station, and the news station turned it over to the police. The person who taped it didn't even turn it over to the police. The news station had to.
Wow. 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 This is nonsense. We got a caller from the 310. You're live on Street Queens, the movement. We were talking about commitment and why people were scared of it, but then we just turned into some important, urgent news about the young 16-year-old that was brutally killed and then taped and put on YouTube at that. Caller from the 310, you're live on Street Queens, the movement.
Yeah, this is DJ New York City King calling from California, and it's definitely a tragedy. I happen to see the footage, and it's a tragedy. And the only thing I have to say is that as far as the way that went down, I was wondering why at that particular point, if I was a good kid, and I saw all that stuff going on around me, it seemed like he was standing like right in the middle of it. Why didn't he move or, you know, leave the area? That's the only thing I couldn't understand.
When you see he's walking and there's a bunch of kids walking that weren't in the fight. When he got hit, it was from the back. Someone came up behind him and hit him in the back of his head with a wooden plank.
Exactly.
So I don't know. Yeah,
There was fighting all around him. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If I'm telling my kid and giving my kid advice, and you see a fight and there are kids and you're walking home, you evacuate the area.
Yeah, but a lot of times we've sat. I mean, I know I've done it when I was younger. Sat and see people fighting and sat and watch. I mean, yeah, it's not a safe thing to do, but I've done it.
Yeah, but it's more dangerous now.
It is. It's extremely dangerous, but we've done it. Then you're not expecting anyone to, if it has nothing to do with you, you're not expecting anyone to, you know, run up and hit you in the back of the head. And I don't know. I mean, he's 16 years old. It's just,
you're right, but they were fighting in back of him, and they were fighting in front of him.
Yeah.
That means he was in the center.
Mm-hmm.
So why, you know, I was just saying, if you see people fighting, just go the other way.
Yes.
You know, 8 or 9 blocks out of your way is not going to hurt you.
Yeah. Right.
I just feel sorry for the family and the fact that, I don't know, I just couldn't understand why he just stood there. And I could see him from the video that they were fighting in back of him, they were fighting in the street, they were fighting on the side, and he was walking in the middle looking. I said, I can't figure it out. Why was he standing there? And it's all, normally, see, the gangsters didn't get hurt because the gangsters are fighting, hurting everybody else, and that's the way it normally is. It's the innocent people that get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot of nonsense about, you know, this. But at the same time, who's to say that the boy wasn't scared, stunned, or might have seen somebody he was afraid of and got frozen at the point? Who knows? We don't know anything that could have been in the situation that happened. The fact of the matter is this child was brutally murdered and videotaped and was exploited online. And no one had the heart to call 911 when this started. And they continued. The people that were videotaping should have went to jail for videotaping the mess because they should have called 911. So basically, they're in compliance to the murder also. They're in accessory.
Well, in order for it to not happen again, I think we need to institute that whenever you see something happen like that, you just run the other way.
Not even run away. I think that there needs to be a situation where if there is something brutal that happens, then it should not be allowed to be put in one in pros and cons. For putting it on YouTube, which is a big media facet, one pro is that, yeah, we can identify with some of the children that were involved in the situation that maybe we wouldn't have been able to be involved with if we didn't have the video, right? But then at the same time, we're exploiting this child, and this stuff is being passed nationwide all over the place, and people are sitting there and watching it for their own entertainment.
Well, you got me on that.
And yet the family is constantly reminded that, yes, my child was brutally murdered and it's all over the internet. And everybody in the world knows before the family does.
If I saw the video correctly, I think someone did respond, because at the end when they went and picked him up and they pulled him into the little alleyway, and I think the firemen or something had gotten there at that point, and they were saying that this kid needs help, so they were trying to help.
That was too late. The moment that it commenced, when the video commenced, when it started, there should have been somebody calling 911.
Exactly. Well,
you got to remember the response time. You got to remember the response time.
Well, no, because the one who's taping
it. That time, if you had that much time to sit there and videotape it, you could have had calls. You could have stopped that and called. Right now, when you saw that, come on now. Like, come on, man. There was no excuse. Because you know what, I'm thinking of the reason why I'm sitting here and I'm angry about it, because it could have, God forbid, it could have been anybody's kid out there or my daughter.
A 16-year-old kid, and the thing about it is the ones who are taping it, mind it, there's two separate instances. When they first hit him in the head with the wooden plank, and then another kid came up, ran up, and punched him in the face, he dropped. But then they continued to, they taped it, somebody laughed and said he got dropped and that whatever. And then those same people continued to tape other fights around them. Then you see Darion trying to get up. As he's getting up, someone runs over, hits him again, and then they stomp him. So these were two separate instances. So after he got hit in the head with the wood, they had time to call. No one did. And then the same people who were taping it are the ones who dragged him into the wood and, you know, are trying to scream and protect him and stuff. I didn't understand that at the end. Darion, get up, get up, get up, crying and screaming, but you sat there and watched the whole thing.
There's no excuse. There's no excuse. And if America cannot stand up and make some noise, or our people can't stand up and tell these kids or something, this was straight, bona fide, pure, motivated murder. This is murder to the first count. No secondary, no nothing. This was pure murder with no remorse at all.
Well, I think that the solution is jobs, more jobs, and the thing that is, I think, critical is the fact that the guns are being made, and the liquor and the drugs are all being shipped into the community. And until that stops, because all this gang stuff is being growing because of the drug trade. And once they eliminate the drugs, then the gangs will diminish, because that's what's making this gang violence more and more worse and worse.
Does anybody by chance know where the family is located, what we can do to, like, try to assist with burial or anything, if people can send donations? Like, I mean, this is terrible.
Yeah,
they're,
I think Reverend Sharpton.
Yeah.
Reverend Sharpton is heavily involved, so you just reach out to Reverend Sharpton. He has a website and a phone number. You can call his office.
Okay. And I'm sure you can check Michael Bazin's radio. I believe his website is called, what's it called, Color, iccolor.com.
Yeah.
He had the grandfather on his radio show the other day, so, and I know he's involved as well. So he's been covering it on his radio show, but Obama is supposed to be doing something in Chicago, and I'm almost positive, because we know the type of president that we have, that he'll speak on it.
And you know what's crazy, though? You know the crazy thing about it is that everybody in the world is concerned with nonsense. This boy just got killed.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing this stuff all over the news like crazy. Like, it's not all over the news like crazy. Like, what the hell?
No. You see John and Kate plus eight on the news more than you see this little boy's murder.
You see the fact that John left Kate and they're talking about this nonsense, and not one time I heard about. I'm in the DMV, mind you. I'm in the DMV, and not really one time I'm coming from work, I've heard about this child situation until now, which is nonsense. Which is nonsense. So you know I'm going to have to talk about it tomorrow.
That's exactly why this program is so good, because we need to control our own communications and our own news programs.
Yeah. That's why we got to talk about it tomorrow. And, you know, next week, I think, you know, with this whole situation, you know, I think we need to just talk about Americans. Like, are we heartless human beings? Like, do we get off on violence? Like, you know, like, what this, I'm talking about, I'm baffled. I'm appalled, I'm angry, and I'm sad.
And you know what happens is, in a lot of the areas, a lot of, you know, the way the economy is now, a lot of the cities are cutting a lot of the after-school programs for kids, a lot of the recreation centers, the libraries, the local libraries. I know in Philadelphia, they almost, and Emma, you know, they almost shut down all of the recreation centers and the libraries. And, you know, I think in Harrisburg, was it, Emma, that they passed the law and they finally decided to save them? But because of the budget, that's one of the first things they want to cut. And these kids have nowhere to go after school, so they go to the street. And they fight and they get in trouble. It's a lot of aspects to do with it. A lot of them are too young for jobs now.
Mm.
But
oh, yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
Real talk, man. New York City, Ken. I'm shocked that you were called today, man. I'm happy you called into the show today, man.
You're welcome. Well, anytime you guys need me, you can always reach out to me and call me at 310-453-1400, extension 209. Yeah, I'm gonna teach my kids and those people around me. The first thing you do is you look for trouble. You got to have that urban sense about you when you can feel trouble. And, you know, if just walk across the other side of the street. I mean, walk around the corner. Avoid crowds. You can see trouble from a distance. Once they invade your space, then you know that there's something going to happen. So just try. The only way a person can harm you is if they get close to you. Not necessarily in all instances, because I know they use guns, but if you run the other way, take the long way, then I'm just going to teach them to run. You know, first thing you do is you run.
Man, and you know what? We need to also, this is another thing when we talk about commitment with our children, just commitment in general. We need to stay commitment in storing values and committing into preparing our children for these everyday lives. We preparing our children to know that you never know what can happen. You know, you know, God forbid, maybe this situation could have been handled in a different way. Maybe he could have took a different route. Maybe he could have, you know, anything, but the fact of the matter is maybe he shouldn't have been walking alone. Maybe a parent today came and picked him up. Mm. Who knows? But at the same time, this child got brutally murdered, you know, and we're not doing something about it. I implore you as a commitment today to not allow things like this to happen in our world and to stand up and to raise your voice up and to stand up for things like this. Like, we have to stay committed to our children. Like, for real. Like, these children are innocent in this world. You got to stay committed in providing values and staying on them, man, because God forbid this could have happened to anybody's child. Yours, anyone out there. This child was brutally murdered. This is not a game out here. This is nothing funny. I'm hurt right now, the fact to even think that somebody could be so heartless to do this to a child. And people would sit there and enjoy it for enjoyment. I can't even fathom how many hits that video got on YouTube. And I'm about to bring this caller in. Caller from the block number, you're live on Street Queens, the movement. We were talking about commitment, but, you know, it was brought to our attention about the young 16-year-old that was brutally murdered and videotaped, and someone called 911. Caller from the block, caller, state your name and where you calling from.
Well, I'm calling from California.
Hey, what's up, Ren?
What's going on? I'm just chiming in. What's up to the ladies, you know what I'm saying, on Street Queens?
Hey. How you doing?
No, hey. Chilling. I heard DJ New York City Ken on there. I'm familiar with him. I'm sure he's familiar with me.
Who's this?
It's Renacy, dog. What's up with you?
Yo, what up, sir?
I can't call it, man, you know.
Good to hear you chiming in.
yeah, no doubt, man.
All right.
So I was trying to, since I didn't hear the show from the beginning, I didn't really catch the topic of the concept of the show, but, you know, I was trying to.
We were talking about commitment at first, about how it's so, you know, serious to stay committed in our lives, and why do we start things and never finish it, whether it be with our children, whether it be in life in general, marriages, whatever. But then it was brought to our attention, you know, while we were talking about what's going on in the world, about this young 16-year-old young man that basically was brutally beaten to death by two gangs, you know what I'm saying, black at that, beat to death, and then videotaped on a cell phone and posted on YouTube and was used to basically exploit this child's death. And then at the same time, it's not been like an uproar. People haven't really been talking about it. And then at the same time, no one called for 911 while this boy was getting beaten.
If you ask me, my feedback on all of that, our commitment, all of that ties into each other. And, you know, that goes back to when we stopped pledging each other's allegiance, man. That's really my whole speech every time a matter comes, especially when it's black on black or something like that, or even somebody else who's a person of color. You know what I'm saying? Because in this country, the only way to live here in America or live in another European ruled society, man, is you got to be taught to prioritize them and their agenda first. So in prioritizing their agenda or their ethics, their morals, their way of living, the way you live, you got to kind of put that down. So in that's where the commitment, we lose contact with our or we lose grips with our commitment to each other and pledging each other's allegiance, where, you know what I'm saying, where we just don't have any. The respect, it goes back to that, almost that slave way of thinking. You know what I'm saying? When the master get hurt, we say, oh, master, we hurt. Because we put them in, you know what I mean? We see them as our point of focus, man. And so, in turn, we turn our backs on each other, which is, we need to go back and be reconditioned, or we need to start, since we're talking about it, we in the know. So, you know, it's not we're going to get from a textbook. We just need to put it in perspective right now and start rolling with it. So.
Another thing is kids are being trained as predators.
Right. Now that's I mean, all right, for instance, right, black people, we all are descendants from Africa. In a true African culture, we didn't think like that. Our mentality wasn't barbaric like that. I mean, I'm not saying you can never say, oh, so I'm not going to say that stuff like that didn't happen, but it didn't happen as often. And, you know, I mean, it was a time when black people, when your son or daughter went to jail, man, you was embarrassed to tell that. You know what I'm saying? You was like, oh, where your baby at? Oh, they on vacation. Or, oh, they out of state. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of that those barbaric thoughts, and we just accepted it all, man. I don't know what it is, man. We need to return back to us, because whatever we've picked up, man, it's not working for us. It's not. It's really not working.
Yeah, another thing is that we are now involved in raising our kids that are surrounded by kids that have grown up in war-torn countries, that have been fighting wars since as children, and they have lived and breathed killing as young children, because the kids in Africa at young ages are carrying weapons, you know, AK-47s and machine guns and stuff like that, and they're actually using them as they're actual warriors, and they're trained as warriors. And it's the same place in, like, South America, Dominican Republic, and a lot of other countries. So now these kids are mingling amongst our kids. So the
I got to beg to differ a little bit on that statement, because you know, because the fact of the matter is that that cannot be true for, because I am, and since we're talking about Africa, shout out to all my Nigerians out there, because today is Nigeria's Independence Day today. If you didn't know that, you know, shout out to all my green, white, green. I'm from Africa, and I really don't believe that, you know, all of them are trained. There might be certain areas, not you know, every part, because remember, you know, because some people get this situation where they feel that Africa is a whole, you know what I'm saying, a whole, and, you know, we got different, you know, countries, just like, you know, in the United States of America, mm-hmm. and, you know, certain regions might do that, but that's not in a whole.
Yeah,
and you got more in Arabic communities, in like more of the Middle East area, that, you know, in like Iraq or Iran, that have been having civil wars for years and years on, that basically in Palestine, that have raised their children because that was the only way that they could protect themselves in that time. So, you know, we have to, you know, be careful in regards to, you know, making generalized statements, you know, not to, you
yeah,
know, cut you off like that, you know.
Yeah. You could fit a few Americas in Africa, because Africa's a continent, so with a whole bunch of countries. America's one country. So, well, yeah, and then you start to dissect Africa, you got to say, you can narrow that down to a village, which means you got to get real, real specific. That is, because it's a lot of negative connotations that's about Africa that we need to refute and dispute already right now. So I do respect you for that, Lush, because it's a lot. It is a lot going on, and not to take anything away from you from what you're saying.
No, I'm not taking anything.
I'm saying I don't want to come off like I'm attacking him either. You know what I'm saying? That's all
I'm
saying.
I'm not taking away from anything that Ken is saying. Also, I mean, you know, everybody, you know, I respect what he's saying, but when it comes to, like, you know. You know, because sometimes we get caught off, because I do it too, you know, because, you know, we have to watch what we say, because, you know, like I said, we have to basically base it on fact, because it's not all, you know, of Africa, it's a certain region.
And I feel like this, in addition to that, I mean, black Americans, whether you black American or you African and you live in Europe, whether you're African, you live in somewhere in Brazil, wherever you at, you know what I'm saying? Because we cover all four corners of the earth. But if you of African descent, most of the time you're not in it to really go out and start no havoc until you've been around people. See, most of that is learned behavior, man. We've been around the wrong people for centuries, and it's bad habits rubbing off on us. You know what I'm saying?
Not even just that. Isn't America based on war?
Isn't the whole American, majority American civilization based on war? Hasn't it been decades and decades of war on top of war, even from the beginning of time when they colonized?
I'm not knocking Africans picking up guns right now, right? Because right now, we need to pick up guns, man, the way we getting done, period. I mean, you got Arab cultures exploiting Africa. You got America. You got European countries exploiting Africa, man. Africa is, you know, what, 95% of the world's resources come from the motherland, man, period.
That's right. There should be no way where they be able to go over there and run all those people off the land and then start mining for diamonds and have them as slaves.
But at the same time, look, you got to know this. African people are humble people. We are humble people. That's, look, even when we fight for freedom, justice, and equality, we always include everybody, right? So we're not that type. And what black people don't do, which a lot of other cultures practice nationalism. Arabs practice nationalism. That's why they had a whole gas station, the whole cab system on lock. Europeans got their whole little nationhood. The same thing, man. The whole only thing we don't do is we don't practice nationalism so that we can keep the black dollar in our communities, and so that we I mean, when I speak of community, I'm talking about from here over to Africa. You know what I'm saying? We always including everybody, and we so humble about it. Come on in, which we need to start practicing. Nah, get out. Move. Get out. We need
That's
to practice
some of
that.
That's a good point. And then we'll have some for our kids, because right now we need, in terms of like just the overall dollars, I was looking at the Forbes billionaires, 500 billionaires or whatever it is, but they keep all their money and they just pass it down the line along to them. We need, as a nation, we need to start, we should have our own banks where we can, you know, distribute our own money to our own kids.
But see, man, and this might sound really extreme to a lot of people and radical, but until we've taken our respect and moved a few people out of the way,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to be able to do that. Because right now we don't pledge. First of all, we have to be reconditioned to pledge our own allegiance to say that, no, you black, you a priority. No, you over there, you black, come here, you a priority. You black, right. You a priority. Because right now we don't see each other as a priority. We're third and secondary and fourth and fifth. We'll put something else in front of everything, especially Europeans, man. You know what I'm saying? Not to put in the European. Well, I ain't going to take nothing back. Anyway. You know what I'm saying, but
CZ, how you feel about those statements that were being made? How you feel about that, Queen?
I'm just listening.
CZ, what's up, little mama?
Hey, how you doing?
You know, chilling with a feeling. That's it. You know.
No, I was just listening to everything that they were saying. You know, I made some good points.
No,
come on in, build, man. This is what we do. We build. Come on.
I'm kind of. You want me to say what I really think?
Yeah. Be honest, right. CZ.
I agree with a lot of the stuff that. Is it Renacy that was saying most of this stuff? Was it Renacy or was it DJ? Hello?
I don't know. Which statement was it, though?
The part about Africa, first of all, I get what you were coming from, Lush, and the generalization of the statement. No, I don't know what this has to do with Darion, and that's why I was kind of lost.
Oh, well, we shifted because we were talking about how the violence began, so that's how we shifted, and we were saying that the...
I'm talking about the statement with the slaves, and we say, Master, I'm hurt. And that's why I was kind of lost. But y'all want me to be honest. I was just kind of lost. But, I mean, I don't know.
For me, I wasn't trying to lose anybody. I mean, for me, my whole thing is this, right? When you're speaking about our commitment to each other, you got to start from the beginning. I mean, because what we do, and I had this conversation with Lush all the time, what we do is we always talk about the effects of all our situations, but we never talk about the cause. And so in order to talk about the cause, you got to take it back to the root of the problem. You know what I'm saying? And once you find the root of the problem, then we can, you know, go back from that point and then fix it. Huh?
I'm trying to find out the connection between that and Africa.
You don't know the connection between that and Africa?
I'm sorry. Can you speak up a little louder? I can't hear you.
Now I'm saying, I mean, what needs to be elaborated on?
What is the connection between, I mean, how did Africa, I'm trying to figure out what, how that came into it.
Well, I mean, personally, I'm African. So, and, you know, I mean, so when I speak of commitment, I'm speaking of my commitment as a whole and everybody that's of African descent. So when
uh-huh.
you talk about that, that means Africa to me, because my primary focus can't be the world right now. We got business in our own backyard that needs to be dealt with. So
exactly.
after the house is cleaned up, then we can say, okay, everybody can come over now. You know what I'm saying? But with the house all cluttered and junky, man, you know, people need to move about the way and go home.
I mean, we can't have no company
right now, you know what I'm saying?
I agree with everything you were saying about how we need to make each other a priority, and that is true. We don't make each other a priority. We have people, well, black people turning on each other, fighting with each other, not just black people. I mean, you got a white guy who just raped his 7-day-year-old baby, you know, the other day, 7 days old. She's in critical condition in the hospital. You hear stories like that all the time.
Right.
They don't make it known on the news.
No. And that's see, my point is not to take any light away from that, right? Because that gets, like, honestly, you know about it, so it's got some light. But there's somebody who's black in urban neighborhoods who always get killed from here to D.C. to probably where you at. That never gets any. I mean, the only way you're gonna find out about them is at the end when you read the obituary column in your local paper.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my point.
Okay. You know, even in general, situations like that CG brought up with the 16-year-old, you know, and CG, say his full name again.
His name is Darion Albert.
Darion, and situations like with Darion, like, nobody really would have had known, right, unless either CG or somebody else would have had Kane, or you have some black radio stations, because some black radio stations didn't even talk about it, you know. And the situation, if we don't give it light and make and let it be known that this is a situation, that this is going on, they're
mm-hmm.
gonna just pass it. They just gonna pass it by, like it was nothing.
Mhm.
Yeah. No. Black life. Black life is not cherished. It's not, man. Black life is treated like a cockroach. You come in, you spray raid on it, and that's it. You take the towel, wipe it up.
What?
I mean, that's the way, I feel like that's the way black life is being treated right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nah, man, we dying.
See, I think she's got a response to that.
Man, we're dying in droves, man, and ain't nobody caring, man. Black people don't even care. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? That's my point, man. It's just like killing an insect. You don't even think about it. If that insect had a name or a family, you don't think about that.
And then that's another thing with these teardrops. It's now promoted that it's okay to kill each other. And you get a teardrop on your face and you're cool all of a sudden. And, I mean, I don't want to bring music into this, but that's why a lot of these kids think it's cool.
Okay, so can you know what? I always wanted to know that since we're talking about that, explain to me the whole teardrop situation, because I never understood it.
I don't know. I'm not a thug, but from what I hear, if you get a teardrop on your face, that means that you killed somebody, right? That means that you've taken a life. And then you see artists like Lil Wayne, I think he's got 4 teardrops on his face.
Man, Lil Wayne ain't killed nothing but a hamburger, okay?
No, I mean, he kill a few verses. You know what I'm saying? Kill a few verses. I mean, but that should be look. But see, we need to, man. It's just our level of thinking, man. And we, man. But look, put it like this. Lil Wayne is not serving our agenda as black people. He's being paid to make somebody else some money, and it ain't in the better interest of black people. So there you go.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's what happens when you sell your soul to the devil. At the end of the day, we need to stop the violence, and whatever we can do, I implore everybody as a commitment, try to find out how you can get, you know, in contact with Darion's people or anything you can do to support, to help with the funeral or anything, or just comfort or letters of support. We need to support one another when situations like this happen. We have to. So I implore everybody to go there and try to find out. And I guess me and CG will try to find out more information and post it up on Street Queens The Movement. So you guys, if you need the address or any information, you guys can contact. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And we also got to be aware and keep our eyes open that a lot of us are not behind the scenes with a lot of things that the government does. You know, we have a closed eye to a lot of, like, this swine flu medication that they have now, that everyone can come and get this vaccine for the flu. I guarantee you this shit is going to be spreading around.
That is the flu, man.
I'm with my best friend, right? And he told me that they gave a little girl the vaccine the other day, the swine flu vaccine. As soon as they put it in her, she died.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
and you know, they're
historically, though, what flu shots do, from what I've known, that's what they do. That the flu shot gives you the flu, so that your natural body, your body can fight it off and learn how to fight it off. Your body is supposed to teach itself how to fight that particular virus off. That's what's been explained to me.
All we use for is guinea pigs. They've been doing it years and years and years. Tuskegee Airmen, syphilis. I can look into my military records right now and show you a document that states that they injected me to try to see if I could get freaking pneumonia, okay? They've done it for years and years. And what happened? I got pneumonia. I've gotten it twice. And you know what I'm saying? So it's not a game out here. The government uses us as guinea pigs. I'm telling you, I have not had the flu shot at all, and I've been fine. Okay, everybody that I've seen that's gotten flu shots has gotten the flu.
Mm-hmm.
1 year I took a flu. 1 year, the 1 year I did go get a flu shot, I got the flu real bad. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, man, I couldn't get rid of it because I'm a naturally healthy guy. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. Somebody told me it was cool. I should go do it, and I did it, and I'd never do it again.
We got to open up our eyes, America. We got to stop acting like we're blind. We need to open up our eyes because, for real, they're killing us slowly from the low. I mean, come on, years and years we've been using lotion. Now they're saying the chemicals in the lotion is deteriorating our skin. We've been using toothpaste from years and years, and now they're saying that it's battery acid and all kinds of stuff in there. And they're killing us slowly. Like, really, we really need to really look out and realize what's going on in the United States of America and going on in the world in general. Because for real, you keep your eyes closed and you're dead. Real talk. It's a point as simple that I can say it to you.
There's a movie out there called Food Inc., I believe it is, a documentary, and it shows you some of the things that are in the food you eat. And that's why you see why a lot of these kids, you see how the girls are developed like 26, 27, 30-year-old women. Nowadays, the food and the hormones that are in the food, you know, are helping these kids sprout, grow breasts, everything super early. It's a lot of stuff in the food. And, I believe it's called Food Inc. So, check out. It tells you a lot, and it'll definitely give you a different outlook on what you eat.
See, and I couple that with melanin, right? Because one of the primary attributes of melanin, it could work in a positive way, and it could work against us if we don't get a hold of things. Because melanin, by us being melanated people, it intensifies everything. So that is a natural biological characteristic. So that's why that's by design. We raw at basketball and dancing and when we sing and all of that, man, that's by design. Because when you possess melanin, man, it's all biological. So, but it works the opposite too. So when you addicted to drugs, you know what I'm saying? So.
And the last thing I got to say to y'all and the world is, take back in ancient times. If we really were doing that bad in ancient times, then you would see more reports of more people getting sick than nowadays. Back in the day, they didn't have all this cancer, all this extra stuff, all this stuff that people are dying of, right? Nowadays, we got all this stuff because why? Because you know what? Man wants to tamper with things that are unnatural, and they want to do things and manipulate it, and therefore, we have diseases of all kinds of sorts. So, you know what I'm saying? Really think about it. You know, is everything that we're consuming and everything that we're taking or they saying that is good for us really good for us? Open your eyes, America, and stay committed to finding out what's really going on in America. Stay committed in your life. Stay consistent. And you know what I'm saying? Make sure that you reach out to this family. And, you know, it's not a game, man. Life is passing us by. And it's time for you to grab a hold of it and take it right now. If you're not making change in your life, you need to do it today because it's not a game. And my daughter wants to say something real quick.
What you want to say? Stop the violence.
Aw. So cute.
You know, exactly.
So basically, stop the violence, everybody. You know what I'm saying? And fight the power, man, for real. And you know, fight the power, you know what I'm saying? And CG, man, give the people your Facebook and your Twitter, man, because my girl be on Twitter and Facebook, hard body.
Lastly, I think my Twitter is Twitter/CG Michelle, and same thing with my Facebook, facebook.com/CIJIMICHELLE.
You say that pretty quick. I can't even find you.
It's CIJIMICHELLE. CG Michelle.
That's what's up, man.
I'm going to look you up. You feel me?
Definitely.
Yeah, CG is the bomb. She's a chocolate.
You know that's the homie right there. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's the homie. But, Give them your plug in, man.
Oh, me or Ren?
Ren.
Oh, I didn't hear who you said. You dig? Oh man, it's like I always say. You know what I'm saying? It's really everything.com/Renacy. So that's Twitter, you know, .com/Renacy, Facebook.com/Renacy. That's spelled RINNE. SSY. You can find me on MySpace. You can find me on YouTube. You know, all little social networks. I try to get out there and make myself available and visible, you know, for the sake of networking.
And that's what's up, man. And make sure you check us out on Twitter. It's StreetQueen81. And also www.streetqueensthemovement.ning.com. Don't forget tonight, calling our poets tonight. Your girl Lisette, sponsored by Street Queens Movement and Two Mad Latinas, doing a face-off with the Poetry Man, win $100. You already know what it is. And, 21 City Tour, Strictly Bun 1. And we were talking about commitment and, how basically we need to stay consistent in our commitment in life, in your family life, your work life, everything. And also, man, violence is definitely terrible. And what happened to that young gentleman, you know, was very uncalled for, and I'm appalled. And, you know, we want to reach out and support them and pray for the family. You know, and our prayers go out to you. And we want to thank, you know, our lovely queens always come through, Emma, CG Michelle. Shout out to Felicia Sabrit, Lisette. We had our Street King on here, Renacy. And also we had DJ Ken, you know, NYC Ken. And we also had your man Delaney live in the building. But you know what? It's all love. Check us out each and every Thursday at 8 o'clock, same time, same place. And you know what? You got to keep winning. You got to keep going forward and do what you do, man. And I love y'all, guys. I love y'all. Peace, Queen. Peace, King.
Back at it. Say that.
Love y'all. And CG, don't be acting like a stranger, because I come and jump you on Facebook. You hear me? I will Facebook you. You hear me?
Yeah. she gonna slap you in the Facebook.
I love CG, man. I love her to death. That's my sister right there, for real, man. You know what I'm saying?
I'm coming to look for you.
Yeah, send me a request. I love you too much.
Yeah, CG is the smaller version of me. You know what I'm saying? The smaller version of me. Sometimes I swear we came from the same womb a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But we slightly different. You know what I'm saying? I love CG, man. I love you, girl. I love you, Renacy. We out, man. Keep winning no matter what. Keep God first.
Yeah.
They don't give a damn about you. Kick you in the face when you down.
Yeah.
So many people doubted me. Well, I'm on time, look at me now. Love is dead bleeding in the street by somebody that I thought was my friend.
Yeah.
All I really know is that I ain't never gonna stop.